The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Yud. Today's daf has been dedicated by Miriam and Steve Spear in memory of those murdered on 9/11. May their memories be a blessing to us, and in honor of those who tried to save them, may their actions be an inspiration. Yehi Zichram Baruch. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Alei Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichanu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Refuah Shelema Yosef ben Sarah, Rahamim ben Adel, Sarah bat Rachel. Inna refana dahem, inna refana lahem, inna refana lahem, fata nefesh ufuat aguf, urfuatam, kerumad abo v'chini rasom v'nomar, amen. We begin today's daf on Yod Amud Rishon, starting right at the top line with the words itmar. We learned on yesterday's daf, we had a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. So he came along and said that if a person comes along to Beit Din, and he has a ta'ana, and he says, Petach patuach matzati. He says, I found that the petach was opened, right, and the wife that he married. So not only is he believed enough to that she becomes forbidden on him, which we learned that's the law of Shabia, Nafshe, Hatichad, Isura, but he's able to osir her on himself, but also she is mafsid, the ketubah. She also loses her ketubah payment. The law is that if a lady is not faithful, so then she does not get a ketubah payment. So the hadush is not only is he ne'eman to osir her on himself, but he's also ne'eman the gabe hefsed ketubah. So the Gemara now is going to analyze that last point. Why is he believed to the extent where she loses her ketubah? Itmar Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Hachamim Teknu Lahem Lebnot Yisrael Lebtula Matayim Almana Maneh, which means this whole establishment of a ketubah, that what, and in the case of a divorce or death, that the lady gets a payment, that is all a takana of the hachamim. It's all rabbinical, the din of a ketubah. That what, the betulah gets 200 zuz, and the almanah gets 100 zuz. That's a rabbinical enactment. So the same rabbis that established ketubah, they're the same rabbis that what? Believe him, she'im amar petach patuach matzati, Ne'eman, which means since it's only a rabbinical enactment, we can use the rule of Hem Amru Vehem Amru. The same rabbis that said that she gets a ketubah are the same rabbis that can say, we're taking away your ketubah. But if ketubah was the oraita, if it was a Torah law that she gets the 200, then the rabbis would not come along now and take away the payment of the ketubah. Look at the top of she. Hakamim teknu le'isha kelomar. If her ketubah would indeed be midoraita, the only way we'd get rid of the ketubah payment is with witnesses, which means two witnesses come along and say that she was unfaithful. The rabbis established ketubah, therefore hem amru vehem amru. The same rabbis are the ones that said that when he says Petah Patua, he's going to be Ne'eman to Mafsid. So the Gemara is, Imken, if you tell me that the rabbis have the ability to uproot the Ketubah, Ma Aridu Hakamim B'Takanatam, what did the rabbis gain in their Takana? Which means, any guy can come along now with this ta'ana. The whole reason why they made a ketubah is they don't want to make it easy for the guy to get divorced. The guy knows he has to make a payment, so therefore he's going to think twice before he gets divorced. It's a safety feature to keep the marriage intact. The guy knows that once he gets divorced, he has to pay. So the Gemara says, if it's so easy to get rid of the ketubah, all the guy's got to come to Beit Din and say, Petach patua matzati, and then goes to ketubah. So, what did the rabbis gain in such a takana? Amaravar Vasl. This case is different. Hazaka in Adam Toreh Besuda Umafsida. Which means a person is not going to toil to make a Sa'uda and then what? And lose it. Which means this guy over here got married, we said, on a Wednesday, let's say, right? So he made the wedding and everything. He spent a lot of money. Now, Thursday morning, he's coming to Betin. Peta patua matzati. What is he saying? Out. She's a asura to me. It's over. Now, is a guy going to lie in such a case? We say no. Guy's going to tell the truth. He invested too much the night before in the Sa'uda. In Adam, toreach b'Sa'uda. A guy doesn't invest in the Sa'uda, and then what? Mafsida. If he wanted to get rid of her, he would have divorced her the day before, but from the Rusin. It wouldn't have cost him anything. It would have been over. So, Ela, in this case over here, we give him a Ne'emarut, meaning only in this case. If the guy comes a couple of days later, and he comes along and says, Peta patua matzati, he's not Ne'eman to Mafsida the Ketubah. Because then I'll come along and say that he's making up stories, he's angry at her, and he's fabricating. But so long as it's the next day after the Hatunah, Hachamim gave him a Ne'emanut. So therefore, Hu'idu Hachamim b'takanatam. The Takanah b'ketubah is intact. It's just this case over here, since he came immediately after the wedding, he used this Sevarav saying that he's not going to waste his money in the Se'udah. Therefore, he is Ne'eman Tana. We have a statement, To'il v'knas Hachamim hu. Now, since the ketubah is a knas of the Hachamim, now, this word knas over here, it's like a lav davka. It's not really a penalty. It's more like it's a takana of the Hachamim. Since the Hachamim made a takana that what? To give the lady a ketubah, lo tigbe ela min ziburit. Which means she should get paid from ziburit. Normally we have a law that if a person is owed money, let's say, min Torah legally, so already he can get payment from the edit. Edit is the best quality of fields, the top A quality. But since it's only rabbinical, and she comes along and she wants ketubah, she can't come along and say, I want Edith property. I want the best property. The guy come along and say, I'll give you the fair value of the ketubah, but I can pay you from even ziburit. Ziburit is the inferior quality. So the Gemara says, kenasa, you're calling a ketubah kenas. It's a penalty. My kenasa. What's the kenas? What did the husband do that you're giving him a knas? What's the penalty over? He got married and then they're getting divorced. It's a penalty. That's the point. Like we explained, when it says knas, it doesn't mean a penalty. I mean, since it's a rabbinical enactment, lo tigbe ela min ziburit. So if you only get paid from ziburit, right? She cannot claim I want edit, I want benonit, I want the mediocre. No, she gets the most inferior field, of course, with the same value of whatever is matayim 200 sous. If she's a betula, Rabban Shmuel Gamliel Omer, Rabban Shmuel Gamliel holds ketubat isha min haTorah. Oh, so already we have a machloket. We see Rabban Shmuel Gamliel says this vinyan of a ketubah that the lady gets 200 zoos, that's already a Torah law. The Gemara asked, "Mi amar Rabban Shmuel Gamliel acher?" Did indeed Rabban Shmuel Gamliel say that ketubat doraita ve'atanya ve'braita ve'chesef yishkol? Kemoar habetulot. Now, literally, pasuk means, and she will get money. This lady, we'll see which lady we're talking about. Kemoar habetulot, like the settlement that betulot get. So there's another lady that gets a payment like a betulah gets. Now, what is this referring to? So that she tells us, kemoar habetulot, or kesef yishkol b'mfute ne'emar. We're talking about a case over here of a fellow that seduced a lady. That's a mefuteh. So there's a certain amount of money that she has to pay if there was a mefuteh somebody. So it says, kesef yishkol mefuteh ne'emar, kemoar habetulot, ha'amur b'me'anes et habetula. Oh, which means when a person rapes a betula, there's a certain amount of money. How much does he have to pay? Kansua katuv nun kesef b'shvil moar betula. So by anus, or anusa, it says what? 50. So it says, in this case, over by mefuteh, he also has to pay kemoar betulot, the amount of money that what? That a person would have to pay when he went with a betulah. So the Gemara says, shiyehe ze kemoar betulot. Now, uboar betulot kazeh. Now, and moar betulot, the amount of a betulah is going to be like this, so that shiyehe ze kemoar betulot, hekisha katuf, knasa mefateh, right? The Torah has now made a hekesh between the knas that a mefateh pays, the knas ha'ones, Ma la'alan 50, just like by Ones, we know it's 50. Afghan, so to buy. Mefute, 50. Uma kesef amur kan. Shekalim. Now we know by Mefute, the Torah says that the payment is shekalim. Tekhtiv yishkol. Afghan, la'alan, shekalim. So to buy Ones, it is shekalim. Derot tema ma'ot. There's different type of coins. So shekalim. So there was 50 shekalim. How much is 50 shekalim equal? Each shekel is 4 zuz. So therefore, 50 shekel is 200 zuz. So therefore they're saying, kemo'ar a bitulot, like the price that you would pay for a bitula. So there we want to see that. What? It must be there's a payment for a bitula. What's the payment for a bitula? 50 kesef, which is 200 zuz. Therefore you see there's a nyan of ketubah, medeoraita. Mikan samchu hachamim, nechtubat isham ratulah. From here the rabbis relied and established that ketubah is indeed medeoraita. So let's review again. We have a shita, we have tanakama in a braita. The Torah says ketubat isha is deoraita. Because the Torah says, b'mefute yopei kemoare betulot. Yishkol, shekalim, how many shekalim? Well, kemoare betulot is written by Ones. Mm-hmm. By Ones, it says, what, if the rapes a lady, yes, has to pay 50. But now we know that 50 is 50 shekalim, and that's considered mu'ara betulah, the settlement that he makes with a betulah. Also, you see that what is a certain payment that he gave to a betulah. Why? So therefore we see that there's a yanav ketubah as well. That just like there's a mu'ara betulah, there's a settlement you make with the betulot, there's also a settlement that you make with when you marry a betulah. And that's called ketubah. 50 kesef would be 200 zuz. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer ketubat isha ena medevre Torah. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says no, ketubah is only medrabanan ela medevre sofrim. So we have a question. We just came along and said that Rabban Shimon Gamliel says deoraita. Now we're quoting a braita that says it's medrabanan. You have a contradiction. Kabbalah says ipuch. Right, switch it around. Which means take the braita that we just quoted, switch the shitot around. So make Rabban Shimon Gamliel the opinion that says it's medeoraita, and therefore it's consistent. So give us umay hazit apach batraita ipuch kamaita. Who told you to switch the last statement of Rabban Shimon Gamliel? Switch the first statement. Which is maybe Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds it's rabbanan. Keep the braita intact, and then maybe Rabban Shimon's first statement is different. Give us no vashamar nalel Rabban Shimon Gamliel. We heard explicitly from Rabban Shimon Gamliel the amar ketubat isha medeoraita. We know explicitly he holds that it's deoraita. How did not? We have a mishnah. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer noten la memaot kaputkia. You give her from the monies of Kaputkia. Kaputkia is the name of a place. Who is this talking about? So look at Ashi. Noten la memaot kaputkia. Ashi just before that. Mikan samchu medekari la mohar. From the fact that it says in the pasuk mohar abetulot. Mohar means the settlement that you give to betulot. So therefore, it's much better. There's a settlement that betulot got. That's talking about the ketubah. Noten la memaot kaputkia. What's the case? Beperik batra tena nasa isha be'eretz Yisrael. Guy got married, let's say, in Israel. Vigirsha be'kapotkia, but he divorced her in Kaputkia. It's a different place. Noten la memaot eretz Yisrael shen kalot. He pays her from the cheaper currency. Now he has to pay ketubah. So now he's a Kaputkia. Kaputkia has one currency, but it's expensive currency. So the Gemara's is over there, he can get off cheap. He can pay her with the cheaper currency from eretz Yisrael. Nasa isha be'kaputkia, the opposite case. Guy got married in Kaputkia, v'girsha be'eretz Yisrael, noten la memaot eretz Yisrael. Also, he always go lenient. So whatever the cheaper currency is, he gives that maot. Minyana katub ketubah, the money that's written in the ketubah, the amount, the azina lekula. That's the shita of Tarakama. Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer, noten la memaot kaputkia. He says, no. You always have to give the higher amount, which is the higher currency. The regular case where a guy owes money, you have to pay a coin to the stronger currency. And therefore, this case over here, it's a deoraita. So you see the Rabban Shimon Gamliel, from the fact that he says you pay a coin to the Kaputkia currency, which is the more expensive currency, must be yields as deoraita. That's why he's being mahmir. So therefore, we're forced to say that we're going to switch the braita that make Rabban Shimon Gamliel consistent that he holds that ketubat isha is indeed deoraita. Or I could say like this: Kula Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Really, I'll tell you, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, like we said, holds deoraita. And the braita over there that you quoted two shitot, that one says the Rabbanan, one says the deoraita, is no two shitot. That whole braita is really going according to Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. How? The braita was missing some words, and read it like this: Mikan samchu hachemim nektubat isha min haTorah. which means you're right that from the fact that it says Mu'ad Betulot, Mu'ad Betulot teaches us what? That Ketubah is indeed the Oraita. However, Ketubat Almana Eina Medevre Torah. A Ketubah of a widow is not Mina Torah, Eila Medevre Sofrim, Sherabban Shimon Begamniel Omer, Ketubat Almana Eina Medevre Torah, Eila Medevre Sofrim. Which means that which Rabban Shimon said in the Braita, that Ketubah is Rabbanan, that was on an Almanaz Ketubah. And therefore the Braita is all Lashbag. The Braita is saying, Ketubah is the Oraita. But in Almanaz Ketubah is Rabbanan, because Rabban Shimon Gamliel said that Ketubah is Almanaz Rabbanan. So therefore we don't have to change anything. So all Rabban Shimon Gamliel, and he indeed holds the Ketubah is the Oraita. Halakha l'maaseh, Maran is posek that Ketubah, this manazeh is Midrabbanan. I mean, the payment of the ketubah, that is a takana of the hachaim, even by a betula. Hahu de ata lekamed Rav Nachman. Okay, you have a guy, came in front of Rav Nachman. Amar le, so he tells the rabbi, petach patuach matzati. So I found petach patuach. Amar le, Rav Nachman, azbu chufre. Go take the sticks with the thorns of them, and give him a balkut. Whip the guy. And she says, azbu chufre. Halku melkuyot b'maklot with sticks haruyot shel dekel, meaning of the palm tree. She has b'em oxim, have like thorns in them. Kemin kotsim. Why? Want to beat them up? Mebarchata havitale. What does that mean? Mebarchata havitale. Rashi zonot ha'ir azot shishma mebarchata. The zonot of this city that's called mebarchata. I came from a city called mebarchata. Habutot v'shokvot tamid lefanav leznut. Must be this guy already, he's sleeping with the zonot. Why? Which means, how does this guy know what petach patuah is? This guy, if he knows what petach patuah is, so must be the guy's expert. Then he's just fooling around. So therefore, beat him up. So we gave him malkut. That was Rav Nachman. So comes us, Rav Nachman, who damar mehiman? I told Rav Nachman, somebody's believed. When a guy comes up and says petach patuah matzati, he's believed to be osir on himself. And not only that, we said that he's even believed to have seen Ketubah. Yeah. Now you tell me you beat the guy up? So Gemara says, yeah. Meheman, umas bin alechufre. He's believed. But he says, but you beat him up because of his behavior, because what he's doing over here. Comes Gemara and says, Ravacha meshane Ravacha gives a different answer. He says, kan bebachur, kan benasui. He makes a haluk. He says, listen, there's a difference between a bachur and a nasui. If the guy's married already, okay, so now he comes, he was married. So he has a little experience, he knows what petach patuah is, what not. In that case over there, it's fine. But in this case over, we beat him up because he's a bachur. Bachur, he was never married before. So that must be he was going with zonot. So therefore, that's why we make a difference between a bachur and a nasui. Comes again what Gemara says, Ha'ud atal kamed Rabban Gamliel. Okay, guy came from Rabban Gamliel. Amar le petach patuah matzati. Came along and said petach patuah. Amar le shema etita, which means who told you that it was petach patuah? Maybe there was hataya. What is hataya? Rashi says kishiyegi al le petach beto asagur. Rashi's really in the mashal, which we'll see in a second. But what he means is a person, when he goes in, so there's a blockage over there. That's where the betulin is, let's say, right? So it's maybe the petach patuah that you're first, because you went around it. And therefore, who says it was petach patuah? Maybe you were able to make such a bi'ah where you ran around it. The Gemara gives a mashal. What is it analogous to? I was walking in the dark, pitch black, hitta. Right? So what happened? As she says, hitta, because she got the petach patuah, he got to his house, let's say, to the door, had sagur, the door was locked. The yes, what the var me'akibo miniftah. There's like something blocking it, so he can't open the door. So what does he do? Ukshematin otosdin niftah, which is he walks around the impediment, and he's able to open the door. So it says mitzopatuah. Sorry, hita mitzopatuah. He goes around, so he's able to find it open. Lo hita, but if it doesn't go, he goes straight mitzonaul. So therefore, are you sure that what you're saying? You're saying petapatuah. Maybe you went around. And therefore, you have no raya that's a petach patuah. Ika de amni, some say a little different. Hachi amar le shema b'mezid etita, which means like this. According to this version over here, hataya doesn't happen by mistake. The only way hataya is happening is if you did it b'mezid. You have to have it in mind to do it. It's not going to just happen by itself. So it tells maybe b'mezid, when you had to be on purpose, you went around. Ve'akart le dasha ve'avra. And when you do it in that way over there, what happens is you're able to uproot the whole bitulim, and there's no blood, no nothing. Which means in that way of a bi'ah, it's possible there won't be any blood, and just the whole thing just becomes uprooted because of the angle or the strength. Forget Ashi, ika de amri, velo mitkaven lo shchiya hatayah. Without kavanah, not going to happen. Velo amin and shema ita. Which means you uprooted the dasha v'abra, like the whole threshold, the door and the door and the lock. I mean, you took the whole thing off. Akarta denet v'varia. Yani you uprooted the door with the whole thing, which means that's why you didn't see anything. Yani the whole thing came out. What is it like? Hadavat domeh le'adam shehu me'alech b'ishon na'el v'afir. The guy's walking in the pitch black. Hita b'mezid mitzvah patuah. Which means, if he goes around on purpose, he can get into the door. And he goes into the door, because the door's locked, right? So he goes around, so he's like at an angle, so he can go in. Lo hita b'mezid, but if he doesn't make hatayah, what's going to happen? Mitzvah no, it's going to end up being locked. Okay. In any event, these were the episodes over here that we see in the Gemara. Now it's worth it just to see one of the shitot over here of the Let's go slow over here. And this case over here of Rav Nachman. Go one step at a time. He had the case over here where the guy came along and said Petah Patuach Matzati. So what did the rabbi do? He beat him up. He gave him Malkut. So Rashi explained, why did he give him Malkut? Because he's come along and saying, I'm a Baki in Petah Patuach. The only way it can be a Baki in Petah Patuah is a guy who's making Be'ilat Znut. So therefore, he beat him up for, because of Znut. Mebarcheta. Mebarcheta means he came from the city of Barcheta where there was Zorot over there. Habit Aleh, he gave him the Malkut. Okay, that's the simple interpretation of Rashi. So he says over here, Omashma Medvara, from Rashi it's Mashma, Shebe'emet Ne'eman Beta'anato. Meaning we believe what he said. Ela sheish dal koto al kench lefi devarav uragid b'mi'lat zenut. So according to Rashi, the statement is said not rhetorically; it's said conclusively. But she's because b'berchetta lehabita lev, because he's from berchetta and he's with the zonot, he's the next to him. Definitely got to beat him up. Tosfot has a different explanation. He says yesh dal koto al kach shemotzi shemra al benot Yisrael. The reason why you're hitting him is because he's motzi shemra. He's speaking lies on Benot Yisrael. Why? Sheminayin bakiu leton sheyesh petach patuach. V'chi ragidu bebnot berchetah. He learns it as a question. Achspuhu chufra. Rav Nachman lashed him. Mebarchetah habitale? What are we going to... You think this guy went with Zonot and he knows what he's doing? He let us know what he's saying. Meaning it's rhetorical. Oh. And then what are you lashing him for? Because he's motzi la'azal benot Yisrael. Guys coming along and saying false claims. So comes the Gemara and says, "That of Nachman who damar mehiman." So the Gemara says, "What do you mean?" But he's believed. So the Gemara answers, "He's believed, but what? But you gotta hit him." So according to Rashi, we understand, which means above it just said ne'eman. It didn't say you beat him up. So the Gemara answers that that's what it meant. He's believed. But you beat him up also, you have to give him a makut. So for Rashi, we understand the Gemara's back and forth. But according to the Tosafot, the Gemara is saying like this. A simple question. Over there above, you said he's Ne'eman. What is his Petah Patuah? Here you're saying he's not Ne'eman. Here you're saying the reason why you're giving him whips because he's making la'az on Benot Yisrael. So he says, מקשה גמרא שאני יודע, אלא מה רב נחמן שנאמן, לכם מתפעל שאינו נאמן, ותרצו שאכן נאמן. Really have to say, he is נאמן. ומלכין אותו על כן שהוא בקי ורגיל בזה, שיכול לו לטעון פתח פתוח. So in the Gemara, because Logan says, that really he is נאמן, the Gemara's final answer according to the spot, but the reason why he whip him, because he must be רגיל and know what he's doing. Now the Ritba says over here, שלמרות שמלכין אותו על טענה זו, even though you're giving him מלכות in this case, אין לחשוש שימנע מלבו לטעון כן. Wow, which means now by giving the guy Malkut, maybe the guy's not going to come and claim because he's scared that he's going to get whipped. And now what's going to end up happening, there's going to be really a Petah Patuah. And he's not going to come to Bet Din because he don't want to get beat up. So the Ritba says, if there's a real Petah Patuah, you know, okay, he's going to come to the Bet Din. Even if he has to take a whipping, he'll come to Bet Din. It's not going to refrain him from showing up. Now, the next case was, with Rabban Gamliel, right? The guy came to Rabban Gamliel and told him, Peta Patua Matzati. So what did he come along and say? Shema Etita. Maybe you went around all that stuff over there. So now the Ritba writes like this. When a guy says Peta Patua, he's Ne'eman. So why is the rabbi starting to ask him all sorts of questions? Maybe he did this, maybe he did that. Peta Patua for this. We don't have to suspect. So he says over here like this. למרות שאדם נאמן לטעון פתח פתוח מצאת לסור עצמו, מדובר כאן באשת ישראל. Let's go slow. On an אשת ישראל, if you remember, we had a ספק ספקה. A guy comes with his פתח פתוח, really she's מותרת. Because I have ספק ספקה. I say ספק, תחתיו, ספק, אינו תחתיו. ואפילו אם תמצא לומר תחתיו, ספק אונס, ספק רצון. So technically in this case over here, it should be permissible. So the Ritba says that was the case. When the guy came along and said Peta Patua, he has no claim. Which means the rabbi knew the law is there's no claim in it. Go home, you'd be married. So the rabbi was just trying to appease the guy. The guy saying Peta Patua. He said, no, maybe you're angled, maybe you're circumvented in some way over there. Because the Ritba is asking a strong question. What is he saying? The Rabban should say, when a guy comes to the bed and says, Peta Patua Matzati, he should say, okay, Ne'eman. Yeah, right. When do we say Ne'eman? I'll tell you in a regular case, Eshet Kohen. Where there you only have one Sefek. But in this case, really, there was a Sefek Sefek out working. So therefore, the Rabban wants to say, that's why he tried to just tell him, go home. But the guy's going, he's giving a claim. So he said, okay, don't worry. Maybe you went this way, that way, and therefore, in order to appease him. That's one way. Ve'od Pirish. And then he comes along and gives an interpretation. Which means, this is even a regular case. The case was Eshet Kohen. And therefore, really, when you say Peta Batua, it's one Sefek, and therefore she is Asura. So is he asking questions? Stop, you gotta ask him questions. Maybe he is a Baki, this guy in Hataya, and therefore she's not Asur to him. So therefore, you have to grill the guy anyway. Stop to ask him the questions. Maybe he knows what he's doing, and therefore she's not a surah. So therefore, he was just asking. That's the Ritba gives two interpretations. Yeah. Comes the Gemara continues. Okay, guy came in front of Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi. Amar le'eh, tells him, Rabbi, ba'ati ve'lo matzati dam. Oh, he gives a strong claim. He said, I had the bi'ah, and there was no blood. That's a Peta Patua. This is a stronger claim. He's coming on saying there was no there's no blood. So what happens? Amra lo Rabbi Betula Haiti. She comes along and says, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm a Betula. Amar lahem, havi uli oto sudar. Bring me the sheet. The sheet, either the sheet of the bed, or that they used to clean up after the bi'ah. We'll see if there's blood on the sheet. Havi uli sudar. Obviously the blood wasn't exposed, otherwise the guy would say there was blood.
Yeah.
Right? So it says they gave the rabbi the sudar, v'sharo b'mayim, he soaked it in the water, v'chabso, and he washed it, u'matza alav kamma tipe damim, and all of a sudden they saw some spots of blood. That she says that there was zera on the cloth, and therefore the zera was covering the blood. So the rabbi said, give me the cloth, he soaked it in the water, he cleaned it, when he took it out of the water, all of a sudden the zera was off, now already he saw spots of blood. Amar lo, go and acquire your acquisition, which means that you're married. Go, it's fine. She's a betula. Go take your acquisition. It's not a problem. Amar lehuna mor bered rava mefarzeka rav asher. Anana men avidache. So he says, listen, they did that in Eretz Israel. We're also going to do this in Bavel. When the lady comes over here with this claim, when the guy comes with this claim, we'll take the sudar, we'll soak it up, and we'll figure it out. Amalez, I tell them that it's not going to work in Bavel. You know why? Giutz shelanu ki kibutz shelahem. A very important rule. In Eretz Yisrael, the water was very, very clean water. So the way they would clean garments is they would just have to soak it in the water. And the water was so good, we would clean the garments. But in Bavel, you needed two processes. You needed kibutz, followed by giutz. Kibutz is soaking it in the water, you know, with the detergent on that. Then you had to, like, press it. They would take a stone and they would press it in order to get the stains out. Now, when you do a kibbutz and a gihutz, in this case over here, it's problematic. Why? Because when you make the gihutz, it's going to take off the stain. So you say it's not going to work in Bavel, this trick. Because the only way you clean garments in Bavel is you got to soak it and then you got to press it with the stone. So the stone's going to take off the blood. So therefore, you know, you defeat the purpose. So he comes along and says, "V'gihut shenanu, our gihut followed by kibus, is kibus shenahim alone." V'yamat da'abed gihut. So if you say to make a gihut, what's going to happen? Ma'avira le'humreta. Humreta is the stone. The stone that they use to press in is going to take off the blood, and therefore it's not going to be a good testing, and therefore you cannot do this process in Bavel. Ha'uda atal lekamed Rabban Gamliel. Bar Rabbi. That guy came in front of Rabban Gamliel. Amar le Rabbi, ba'alti v'lo matzati dam. Okay, says, Rabbi, the bi'ad, there was no blood. Amar le Rabbi, adayim betula ani. She comes on and says, what do you mean? I'm still betula. Amar lahem, hevi uli shte shefahot. So he said, all right, listen, bring me two shefahot, two maids. Goyot. Had betula v'had be'ula. One betula bring me, and bring me one be'ula. הביאו לו.
He brought them.
הושיבן על פי חבית של יין.
He put them both, he brought the שפחות, will sit on a barrel of wine.
בעולה ריחה נודף.
She said, if a lady is not a betulah, what happens? The smell of the wine goes through her body and goes all the way in her system and comes out of her mouth. You could smell the wine because it's open. So therefore, how do you test if a lady is a betulah or not? You put them on the barrel of wine.
So a בעולה, like we know the מסכת יבמות, that what? The smell comes out. Bitula in the Hanudif.
So first of all, he tested it out with the two shefachot. After he saw it worked,
Avzu shiva.
So he told the lady over here, okay, you say you're a bitula, sit on the barrel of wine over here.
Velo ayari Hanudif. And the smell did not come out. Therefore, why? She must be a bitula. So the Gemara says, Amar lo, lech zakeh b'mikhacha.
Go take your acquisition. No problem, she's a bitula.
So the Gemara asks, V'nibdok mi'ikara b'gaba.
Why don't you go test straight? What do you have to bring the two shefachot?
He didn't break it.
He didn't break the betulin.
He went around. He didn't break the betulin.
He went around.
And now, the question of the Gemara is, why don't you test her straight? What do you have to bring two shefachot and do the barrel thing and then go bring her? So the Gemara says, Gamra ava shemi yale, which means, Rabban, the Gemara says that Rabban Gamliel, he heard this tradition of the barrel that it checks out who's a betulah and who's not. Ma'aseh lo hava. Hazeh. But he never tried it. And therefore, v'sabar dilma lo kimle begaved demilta. Shapir. He thought maybe he's not going to have to do it. And therefore, he wanted to test it out first to see if it works. Ve'lav ola har'al zelzule b'menot Yisrael. He doesn't want to test it out on Benot Yisrael. This thing over. Exactly. First, he put two shefarot to make sure he knows how to do the system. I mean, he had a tradition. He heard that there's a betulah. You put her on the barrel, and they're there. You know what? I don't want to try the betulah. It's not nice. Let me try it on shefarot first. Once he has it down pat, I now bring the betulah, put her on the barrel, and you see already it worked. Hahu da'ata lekamed Rabban Gamliel Zaken. Guy came in front of Rabban Gamliel Zaken. Amar lo rabbi ba'alti velo matzati dam. Okay, he had a bi'an, he didn't find blood, right? Amra lo, Rabbi, his rabbi, mimishpaqad durkati ani. So I come from the family of durkati. She'en lahem lo dam nida velo dam betulin. That family over there, they didn't have blood. That was their genes. There was no blood in these families. She says, what do you want? I'm from the durkati families. We have no blood. Not nida blood and not betulin blood. Badak rabak yom kroboteha. So he did an investigation on the relatives, where she's from. Umatza kibareha, and he found that really she was right. Amar lo lech zakeh b'mikhacha. Go and acquire your acquisition. She's fine. Ashrecha shezachita lemishpacha durkati. Ashrecha, you're lucky that you were zocheh to marry from the mishpacha durkati. We'll see why. Gemara says, my durkati. Why is the family called the durkati family? So the Gemara says, dor katua. Dor katum is a generation that is cut because they can't have children. Because if a person doesn't have the lady doesn't have the da, that means she's not fertile. She cannot have children. So they would call them durkati, meaning dor katua, the generation that is cut because they cannot perpetuate. Now she says she ain't lo dam nida lo dam betulin. They have no dam betula lo dam betulin, which means Gemara is saying that what they katua from blood. They have no blood. Amar Rabbi Hanina tanhumim shel hevel nihamo. Rabban Gamliel, the Otto Aish. Which means, what kind of consolation did he tell him? Ashrecha, Shazachita, the Mishpahat Durkati. He says, this is a consolation of heaven. This is what kind of consolation this is. Why?
Just like we say yeast is good for dough, so too the blood is good for a lady. Jeez, the more blood a lady has, the more fertile she is. So then what is he saying? What do you mean ashlecha? What kind of tarumim is that? It's not tarumim. Any lady that has a lot of blood, baneha merubin. No, they're going to have a lot of children. So Gemara says, itmar, Rabbi and Miyabar, Abba Amar, zakeh b'mikhacha. One rabbi says that the story went that he told, go acquire your acquisition. Amar le, he told him. V'Rabbi Yosef b'Rabin Amar, nithayev b'mikhacha. He told them that what? That it is not beneficial to you, this this mikah. So it's about, look what the rabbi told him. Some say he told him, zakeh. It's privileged that you have this acquisition. And some said, not that you're guilty. Hayab means a chov, meaning it's to your detriment that what? That you married such a girl. Both are saying she's permissible. But what's one rabbi, one version is it's a privilege, and one saying it's a detriment. So Amale, Bishtam Aleman Dabale Tayev. According to the opinion that says he was saying it's a detriment that you married her, we understand why. Because Rabbi Hanina taught it, there's no blood, there's no children. So he was saying, well, you got messed up over here. You married the Durkati family, there's no children over here. But according to the opinion that says it's privilege, my zikuta. What zikuta is to marry this girl? So Gemara said, because she'll never come to Safek Nida, because she doesn't see blood. And therefore, you don't have to worry about Isur Karet. Which means, if a person has a wife and she's affected, he does, so he rationalizes and all that, so what's going to end up happening? If he goes with her, Chas v'Shalom is Isur Karet. So therefore, it's Ashrecha. You're lucky. You'll never have a situation of Safek Nida. Therefore, she's always permissible to you. Therefore, you have no problem of Karet. So in that sense, he was saying, he has a Zechut. She has no Dam Nida. She has no Dam Betuli. Okay, a guy came in front of Rabbi. Amar le Rabbi. Ba'alti velo masati dam. Okay, it comes along and says, I had the bi'ah, no blood. Amra lo rabbi adayim betula ani. She comes along and says, what do you mean? I'm telling you, I'm still betula. Vishne batzoret hava. The Gemara says that it was years of famine. Ra'a rabbi shepenehem shehorim. So when he looked at them, he saw their faces were black from the famine. They were malnutritioned. Go to the bathhouse first, and he gave them, washed them up with hot water. He gave them a good meal, and he gave them to drink. Then he put them in a side room. All of a sudden, now the blood was there. Go take your acquisition. He read on them the following pasuk. Pasuk says in Megillat Echa, "Safad oram al atzmam," which literally means their flesh clung to their bones. Yavesh ayakaitz was dry like a piece of wood, which means when a person is malnutrition, so therefore the blood dries up. It means the becomes famished, so there's no dam. The flesh sticks to the bones. Therefore, he gave him something to eat, her and him something to eat and all that. Now, already the blood was able to come out. So, therefore, she was able to. Therefore, she does leg zacheh b'mekhacha. Let's just read Rashi. Shepeneim shehorim. Their face was black. Mahmad Rabon from starving hunger. Safad oram. So, dunash. Dunash was one of the mefarshim. Dunash pirish kimo dabak oram. Their flesh is stuck to their bones. Al atzmam. Umenahem pirish is a different interpreter. Shahar oram, meaning their flesh has become blackened because of the starvation. Now, betula ketubata matayim. A betula, how much is a ketubah? 200 zuz. They put in the ketubah in case there's going to be a divorce or death, she can go get married to somebody else. So therefore, she gets 200. The almana maneh. Almana, how much does she get? 100. Okay. Betula almana girusha v'halutza mena erusin ketubatan manai matayim v'yesh lahem ta'anat betulim. If she's a betula, what type of betula? She could be a betula that's almana. How can she be a betula almana? Let's say she was a betula, and they got irusin, okay? And then all of a sudden, he died. So she's a betula almana, girusha. Or she's a betula that is a girusha. She, they got engaged, and he got divorced. V'halutza, right? Well, she's a halutza, which means she's a betula, she felt the yibum, the brother made a halitza, so she's still a betula, mina irusin. All these cases are from irusin. So therefore, she's still a betula. She doesn't have a status of an almana now, or a divorcee. Therefore, ketubatan matayim. The ketubah is still 200. Ve'yesh naim ta'anat betulim. Which means, and the husband can have a ta'ana that she wasn't a betula. So he needs, when we say betulat almana, she still didn't have a betula, not an almana, has she? Betulat almana grusha. Ben betulat she almana, or gerusha, or alutzam and erusin. Ve'chazav and eset, when she got remarried, ketubata min ha-sheni, the ketubah from the second husband is what? Matayim, shalif ha-shkat betulai, he said to him, right? Because she's betulah. Ve'yesh lem ta'ana betulim, im lo matza ha-sheni betulah, right? If not to the second guy didn't find the betulim, abda kol ketubata, she loses the whole ketubah, why? The mekah ta'uti lo. He thought she was a betulah. Now he's coming, comes along and says, no betulim, so therefore it's mekah ta'ut, and therefore no payment, no nothing. Comes the Gemara and says, my almana, which means, why do they call an almana? Almana is a widow. Where did they get this word, the almana? Amar Rav Hana Baghdad Ta'a. So Rav Hana from Baghdad said, almana al shem mana. Because how much is a ketubah? Mana. So therefore, almana, mana. I mean the one that gets mana, one that gets 100. So therefore, the name almana came from the amount that's in her ketubah. So the Gemara says, hold it. Almana min erusin ma'ika lememar. Well, that doesn't explain all almana, because we just gave a case where she can be an almana who's a betula. Let's say she's an almana from the Irusin, right? And therefore she gets 200. So therefore, the word almana doesn't fit. So Gemara says, "Aidi deha karila almana, hanami karila almana," which means since the regular almana, which is a lady that her husband dies after they get married, so therefore it called her an almana also. But the real almana is the almana that you know, that lost her betulin, got married. So then we call them all almanot. Kabbalah says, hold it. Almana dichtiva be'oraita ma'ika lememar. Which means we have the word almana as written in the Torah. Now, what are you going to say over here? Which means, if you're telling me that the ketubah of an almana, which we know is midrabbanan, so therefore, the Torah already called it almana. I thought that wasn't until the times of the rabbis that they made the takanaf and almana, that she gets some money in the ketubah. Mm-hmm. But already that word almana was around from the Torah's time. So the Gemara says, da'atidim rabbanan demetakne la almana. Well, the Torah knows what's going to happen. So the Torah is calling her an almana because they know that one day the rabbis are going to establish 100, so therefore the Torah calls almana. The Gemara says, umi katav karal da'atid. But does the Torah write something that's going to happen in the future? The Gemara says, in. Yes, it does. V'chtiv v'shem anahal ha-shelishi hidekel. It's talking about the rivers in the time of Gan Eden. So one of the four rivers was called hidekel. Hidekel is the Tigris River. So it says, hu ha-olech kidmat Ashur. That was the river that was east of Ashur. Now, what was Ashur? V'tana Rav Yosef, Ashur zu Slika. Ashur in that passage was referred to the city that was called Selika. Okay, there was a certain, now Slika was not around at the time of Gan Eden. No. And the Pasuk is telling us that this Hidekel River is east of a city that wasn't even around. Yeah. So Gemara says, Umiyava, was Slika around at the time? Ela Datida. Ela what? In the future, the Torah knows that that's going to be east of Slika. So if also, it's the same thing. Atida. Almana, because the Torah knows that the rabbis are going to establish a almana. Okay? Tosfot just explains over here. V'tar Rav Yosef, Ashur zu Slika. Umi havai? Pirush bekontras. Umi havai? Bebriyat olam? Good. What was there? Was it around? Now, ubelo Rav Yosef me Ashur vechen mikush lo matzil mefrach. Which means Rav Yosef came along and said, Ashur is Slika. Why don't you just ask before you get to Rav Yosef? Just say, was Ashur around? What did Rav Yosef have to add to this question? And you say, Ashur is Slika. And what about Ashur? Was Ashur around in times of Gan Eden? The Matzil Memar, the Ashur Bekush, Shema Mechoz. I can tell you that Ashur is the name of the region. ולא שם העיר. ומימות עולם היה שם כאן. I can tell you that when God created the world, there was a certain region that was called Ashur. Therefore, the question is not from the Ashur, because Ashur, I can tell you, is the name of a region. But Rabbi Yosef comes and says, no, this Ashur in the Pasuk is referring to a specific city called Selika. And Selika was not around at the time of Briyat HaOlam. Good? Abal Kasheh. But Tosfot has a question. So his question is, the mighty Ashur, the Ashur, afal gav de lo abba Briyat HaOlam, kevan da abba b'me Moshe, shapir aval al-mikhtav. Which means, at the time the Torah was given, there was already Ashur. So what's the question? Which means, Almanah was not around even in the times of Moshe. Because Almanah, there was the rabbis established Almanah. So that's a good question. Masha'ikin Ashur, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, there was a place already called Ashur. Abad Maneh lo haya luchtav, kivan shaday lo haya bedorov. And they read the Faresh, the slika bimei Moshe, mi havai, the kimle the slika lo haba bimei Moshe. So again, you have to say that, again, there was already the region of Ashur in the times of Moshe, but slika was not even in the rounds of the time of Moshe. Slika didn't come until after. So if you see the Torah, even if you want to go at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Slika still wasn't around. So it matters. You want to go from the time of Briyat HaOlam, there was no Slika. You want to go from the time of Moshe, there was no Slika. So the Torah is writing Kidmat Ashu, something that is futuristic. So therefore the same thing over here, by Almanah, it's writing something that's in the future. Comes the Gemara and says, V'amar Rav Hana Baghdad Ta'ah. Rav Hana Baghdad Ta'ah from Baghdad. He said, Matar, why do they call rain Matar? I put a mem. What's the mem matar? So meshke, because it waters. Merve, it saturates the ground. Mezabel, it fertilizes the ground. Me'aden, it causes the fruit to have a luster. Umemshich, and it adds growth to the earth, to the trees. So all that mem, matar, is all those mems. Amarava, Amarav Shmael, Veti, Amarav Yimar, Bashalamya, Me'ekera. How do you know that rain has all these benefits? Because as telamea, it's furrows of the ground. Rave, I mean the water saturates it. I mean saturates in waters. So that's mashke umerave right there. Nachet gedudea birbibim. Temogegena simchat tevarech. Which means the word birbibim is what? The showers. Temogegena will soften the ground. So that means when you soften the ground, that's like fertilizing it. And what? The Pasuk says it fertilizes and it also softens the ground, which is fertilizing. Simchat tevarech. Simchat tevarech meaning it causes growth. Tevarech causes growth. And then we have all the items. Let's see Rashi. Rashi will list them for us. Telameha shel Eretz Yisrael, the furrows of Eretz Yisrael, Raveh. Nahed gedudea ka'asher birbibim temogegena, which means rave, which it saturates the ground, harem mashke umarve. Temogegena, it softens the ground, harem mezabel. Me'aden umamshik et ha'perot. The luster and the growth of the perot, nafka mesimcha tevarech. So therefore the pasuk is referring to all the different qualities that the rain has on the ground. Amar Rav Elazar, mizbeach. Why do you call him mizbeach? Mizbeach. Mizbeach is an altar. So it says maziach. What would maziyah?
Dislodges.
Right? Literally, maziyah means it dislodges avonot. Guy has avon, right? What does the mizbeach do? Yeah. It dislodges the avonot. It takes the avonot away. So it's maziyah. Okay. Umizin, it satiates, gives parnasa. Mechabeb, it endears, I guess, between God and the person. Umechaper, and it brings atonement. So the Gemara says, Hainu mechaper, hainu meziyah. It's the same thing. Dislodging sin and kapara is the same thing. Kabara said, no. Maziyah gezerot. It dislodges bad decrees. Umechaper avonot. How does the mizbeach do that? By bringing korbanot on the mizbeach. So the korban has the ability to uproot bad decrees and mechaper also for avonot. That's why it's called mizbeach. Because it has these mem zayin, right? Meziyah, mezin, has the mem zayin. V'amar Rav Hana Baghdad Ta'a. Rav Hana from Baghdad said, Tamre, when it comes to dates, Mashhenan, it warms a person up. Rashi says, Mehamemot, causes the body to become hot. Masbe'an, it satiates the body, dates. Meshalchelan, it causes the person to If you have a loose stool, me'asheran, it gives a person strength. Ve'lo mefankan, it doesn't cause a person to become a estenis, which is normally when a person eats sweet foods and good foods, he becomes spoiled and finicky. He can only eat now sweet foods. No, eating dates is not going to cause you. You don't get addicted to them. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav, Rav said, Achal temarim al yore. A guy eats dates, do not say psak halacha. Because dates have the ability to give a person like an inebriated feeling. It's like drinking, something that's alcohol. So dates also are very strong, so you have to not give a halachot right after you, because when you're giving halachot, you have to have a clear mind. So it says, al yore. Okay, do not give, she says, shum ora'a. Lefi shetoredet da'ato kashikor. Right, his mind becomes like a drunkard when he eats dates. Metive. Gemara has a question. Gemara's question is like this. Temarim, when it comes to dates, shaharit ve'arbit yafot. It's good to have them in the morning, shaharit, and also in arbit. That she says, b'mincha ra'ot. But in mincha time, in the afternoon time, no good. Then it says, batzahoraim en kemotam. But in the afternoon, there's nothing like them. Umibatelot shilosha devarim. And the dates have the ability to uproot three different things. Number one, machshabot, machshaba ra'a, bad thoughts. V'choli me'ayim, it gets rid of intestinal problems. V'tachtoniyot, and gets rid of hemorrhoids. Mi amrinan. So let's stop. Let's read Rashi first. Shacharit v'arbit yafot. Klalad milta, what do you see about the dates, bottom line? Le'achar achila yafot. After you eat, dates are good. In shacharit, you used to eat breakfast. Pat shacharit. So shacharit erkan shebnei adam bepat shacharit kedamad bemekabel arbit achar achila. So always after a meal, and arbit you also would eat. So therefore, after breakfast, dates are good. After dinner, dates are good. Next Rashi. V'mincha ra'ot. Shein kodem achila. In the olden days, you used to sleep in the afternoon. So when you get up from your afternoon nap, dates are not good because you didn't eat. But sa'urayim, next lashi, la'achar ha-se'udah, sha'achar ha-sabah, after each afternoon meal, again, there's nothing better than them. En kemotam, v'tobot yoter ma'arbit. Which is the dates that a guy eats after lunch is better than one that even in arbit. Lefi, she'enu me'ukab bayom medilek lasadot, lebet ha-kiseh b'chol et shirtse, aber ba'layla torah ono. In the afternoon, if he has to go to the bathroom, if he has the dates, he'll go. Because it's light outside. But shaking at night, if he eats dates, he has to go outside, it's dark. So he's going to refrain himself from going to the bathroom. So there's no better time to eat the dates than what? The afternoon. Now, and what are you saying over here? You're telling us over here. Right, but Sauraim, you told me there's nothing nothing like them. So the Gemara says, Mi amrina and de lo ma'alu. So the Gemara's mashma over here that you're telling me what above? You told me the dates what? A person eats dates al yore. Okay, then you told me also it warms the person, it satiates the person, it causes him shilshul, and it gives him strength, and a person does not become addicted to it. So what's the Gemara's question? Metive, you told me in shaharit and arbit it's good because after a meal, mincha no good. Because she didn't eat yet. Tzahoraim is great, and it's mevatel three items. It's mevatel, machshava, ra'a, and all these things over here. But now you're telling me that al yoreh. Why shouldn't you give a psak? They're so good, have so many beneficial things to it. Why, when a guy eats it, he should not say halachot? Kabbalah says, Mi amrin de lo ma'alu. Did I tell you that it's not not good? It is beneficial. However, eluye ma'alu. Ufi sha'ata tirda. But bottom line, when you eat them, you become preoccupied. Your mind becomes a little dizzy, we'll say, from the timarim, and therefore you can't give halachot. I mean, it's no contradiction. They're good for you, but it causes a person to be like a little shikor, and therefore you cannot give halachot. Midi dahava ahamra. It's no different than wine. The amar mor has shoter vi'it yain al yoreh. A person drinks a vi'it of wine, a couple, 3 ounces of wine, let's say, already shouldn't say halachot. All we can say is the difference. Ha mikamena ama, ha lebatar nehama. Depends when you eat them. If you eat them on an empty stomach before you have your bread, then they're intoxicating. Then already don't give halachot. However, if you eat it after bread, okay, after bread on a full stomach, so therefore the date's not going to cause this dizziness. There was no problem. Comes the Gemara and says, "Damar Abaye Amradi Im." My mother told me. In fact, she explained this was his nurse because Abaye was a yatom. So he says, "My mother, my nurse told me, Tamre Mekamen Hama, when the guy eats dates before he has his bread, Ki Narga LeDikula, it's like a axe to a palm tree. An axe to a palm tree is destructive. So what does the axe do to the palm tree? It breaks it down. Eating dates before the meal, destructive. Batar ne'ama. Oh, but after the meal, after bread. Ki avra ledasha. It's like the threshold in front of the door. Rashi. Ki avra ledasha. Mahzikot et aguf. It strengthens the body. Kibiriyach et adelit. Just like the lock, the bolt holds the door. So therefore, when a guy eats the dates after, it's like this. So the Gemara says, Dasha. Now the word Dasha, Dasha is a door. Yeah. Where did they get the word in Aramaic, Dasha, to mean a door? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, Amar Abba, Derech Sham. Derech Sham, the path is there. People always walk back and forth in the door, out the door. So they call it Dasha, Derech Sham. It's like Dasha Tevot. Darga, Darga is a ladder. Why do they call a ladder a darga? Amar Abba, Derech Gag. Because it's the way to go to the roof. Yeah, how do you get to the roof? Use a ladder. So they call it a darga. Darga, derech, gag. Puria, puria is a bed. Why do they call it a bed a puria? Oh. Amar a papa, sheparin veravin ale. Because they have puria verabia on the bed. You produce, you reproduce. So puria is puria verabia. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak, af anu nomar. Once already giving the words, we could also add to the list. Ailonit. What should we say? Ailonit is a lady that cannot have children, correct?
Yes.
Why do they call her Ailonit? Ailonit really, in Hebrew, there's a word ayil. What's an ayil? Ayil is a ram. And therefore, the reason why they call her a ram, because a ram is the male, correct? How do you say ram in Hebrew? Ayil is dechar. In Aramaic, is dechar. Dechar is like a zachar. Yeah. Zachar is not, doesn't have the children. The man, the female has the children. So they call her an ailonit. It's like calling her duchranit. Duchranit is like she's a female that has male, meaning she cannot reproduce. Delo yalda. So ailonit is really dachranit, and that's why they call her. She says, af anu nomar. אף אנו נדרוש את השמות. מה לשון אילונית שקראו חכמים לאישה שלנו ילד? דוכרנית. לשון איל. תמיד מתרגמים לה דחר. הרי כאיל שאינו יולד. שאינו יולד.